We've got some great callers lined up. Beth in Tucson wants to talk about tomatoes for the fall. Bill wants to talk about navel oranges. And Donna wants to talk about picking the right tree for a small area. Before we get to those calls, though, we're going to bring Director Mark Killian, the Arizona Department of Agricultural Director, back into the conversation. Why agricultural? You know, I doing the landscape garden hour of Rosie on the House for 11 years now, that's the first thing every person from out of state calls in and says.
Soil's bad or water's
I can't get anything to
alkali,
grow.
Alkali, nothing will grow here.
What's this caliche, these hard clays? Why agriculture? Isn't this a horrible place to do agricultural?
You know, that's the rumor that's out there. But really, agriculture in Arizona is big business. $17 billion industry.
Out of curiosity, is there a bigger industry?
I don't believe so. The if you you look at the on-farm payroll,
I know the Cardinals don't bring in that much. or all sports teams combined don't do that.
They tell me that that's a conservative figure. That was a study that U of A did. And if you take all the ancillary businesses that rely on agriculture, it's probably into the $20 or $30 billion. But let's talk about the soil. Arizona soil is best suited for so many great crops. I was just telling you a little while ago that particularly in the East Valley, navel oranges are probably the best in the world for the flavor and sugar content. You couldn't find better. Back in the 30s, Glendale was considered the strawberry capital of the world. For growing pistachios and almonds and pecans, the climates that we have in Arizona are some of the best in the world, and the nuts that we grow are off the charts. Same thing is with olives. If you look at the specialty crops that we're growing right now, we grow black-eyed peas and Yuma, okay? Most of the winter vegetables that go across the country in the winter come from Yuma. Most of the seeds that are grown that go into Mexico for them to produce all of the fruits and vegetables that come back into the United States are grown in Arizona. Our alfalfa crops are exported all over the world. Our red Durum wheat is the best red Durum wheat in the world. In fact, Italy comes to Arizona to buy the red Durum wheat to make their pasta. So when you see that box in the store that says pasta from Italy, it probably was grown in Coolidge or Arizona City or Queen Creek or, you know. Arizona kind of gets a bad rap. And then you put on top of that all the great dairies we have, the dairy industry is growing. We have some of the best ranching land in the country. We have some of the best feedlots in the country. The Hickmans, unbelievable what they do with their chickens. And then we're now building this whole fish industry, aqua industry down in Dateland. They're producing 500,000 pounds of fresh fish every year.
What type of fish?
Tilapia.
Okay.
And then I believe they got some striped bass. And then on top of that, if you take what U of A is doing, for example, U of A has and Senator McCain was criticizing this, and I don't think he had the information he needed, but U of A has got this center that studies the health of shrimp, and they produce the medicines necessary to keep shrimp alive all over the world. Shrimp as a protein is one of the highest protein producers in the world and feeds hundreds of millions of people. And at U of A, they are doing the things that they need to do to protect those shrimp farmers all over the world.
That's pretty cool. I won't say it. It's breakfast time on Saturday morning, but there was Google shrimp and Vietnamese, and you'll watch your packaging next time you go buy shrimp. Bring Beth into the conversation and talk about her tomatoes. Good morning, Beth. Are you with us?
I am.
Go ahead.
Last year, y'all had talked about cutting back tomatoes so that they will revive for the fall growing. And could you repeat when you cut them back so they'll grow again?
Well, I'm not personally a big proponent of cutting them back. If you've been able to carry your tomato plants over, I truly believe we've gotten through the worst part of the summer. I can imagine your tomato plant doesn't look real healthy. It's probably got a lot of brown leaves and burnt up leaves, and you could go in there and kind of selectively kind of prune some of that out, and then start encouraging it, start fertilizing it, make sure you keep your water up, and as our nighttime temperatures start to cool down again, you'll start to see some new growth on those tomatoes.
What type of tomato are you growing, Beth?
Golden cherry tomato, and I think an early girl.
Those are, we have an early girl, and
early girl is a great fall tomato because, as you know, that fall tomato crop is kind of difficult to grow here. Early day because of the cool temperatures. Our first frost date is usually around November 20th, and early girl tomato from seed matures in about 55-56 days. So you've got to, you know, people that are going to try and grow fall tomatoes, is now's the time you want to start planting them. You know, you kind of count back from our frost date, you know, November 20th, and kind of count back. So you've got really about end of August, 1st of September to get those tomatoes in the ground, hopefully to get a crop before it does freeze.
Now, if this is something held over from those, which is pretty rare, we had that really mild May and June. I generally pull ours out, but they just kept staying green, and they are just like you described. They're still green. They've got brown spots here and there.
You're better than I am because I lost everything. when that 114 degree weather hit, they were all gone.
We got a little shade cover. I think that helped. Mm-hmm. So, well, good luck with your tomatoes, Beth. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm trying to find out the best variety, producing wise, et cetera, for navel orange tree here in Phoenix.
Well, there are several Washington navels, and you could probably help me over here too, being a navel grower. But Washington navel's probably the most common, the most popular one. There's Trovita, which is more of a seedling sport of the Washington navel, and it's more of one of our Arizona sweets. One of the oranges that they kind of conglomerate into that term Arizona sweet is also a very good navel. Sometimes navels as a backyard, not in a grove, but as a backyard, don't produce as well. They'll be just because of our hot, dry summers that we'll get. They will produce maybe on every other year. They'll kind of be a little heavier one year or another. And in a grove, they'll produce very, very well because of the shade that they're creating, the microclimate that they're creating, and the flood irrigation that they're creating.
Yeah, you get a drop-off in the summer when it's too hot. But you're right. When you come on our farm off the street, there's quite a big temperature drop, mm-hmm. just from that microclimate. And but that's the critical thing in the summer when you get those high temperatures. If there's some way you can keep that water on there and keep that tree well hydrated, then you don't have that drop-off.
And in a grove, you're going to have a much larger microclimate than
one
standalone tree on your own property.
But
that's why it's best not to trim them up to look like a tree, but keep them a shrub.
That's correct.
They are a bush.
They are a bush.
Yep.
And what type of oranges do y'all grow?
We have two types. We've got Valencias, and then we've got the navels. Most of our navel trees, my grandfather planted back about 1948. And as they're getting older, we're starting to replace those. And the Valencias, I think they planted in the early 60s at the second time around. And then I think we've got one of our buildings over there where the last of my grandfather's grapefruit trees he planted back in about 1930, and they're still alive and going and producing the grapefruit. Our biggest challenge is when they close the packing shed in Mesa, we have no place to take oranges, and so we sell them to Superstition Ranch Market. We have a lot of friends that come by, and we give oranges away, and we eat oranges till we turn orange at our wine place. So, but that's one of our challenges. We're hopeful that we'll have a citrus packing plant brought back into the valley. Because right now, if you're going to process them, you got to send them all the way to California, and there's not enough money in them to do that. So,
interesting.
Let me tell you another product that grows really well in Arizona, and that's pumpkins. Okay, particularly up in the northern Arizona, that area. Mm-hmm. Up in my place in Pinedale, we grow what they call the gold medal pumpkin. It's a 95-day pumpkin. I'm going to send you pictures of it. They're absolutely awesome. I mean, they put these pumpkins to shame that you buy in the stores, great big old thick stems.
Right.
They'll average 65, 70 pounds.
Oh.
They are, and you can make pumpkin pies out of them. They are unbelievable, and we just love them. So you get them in the ground up there about the 6th of June, and they're off ready about the 21st of July, or 21st of September, right before the first freeze. I'm going to send you guys pictures. In fact, I'm going to bring you some here in September. You won't believe how good they are. They're just awesome.
You do know that we had the state weigh-in for the state record pumpkin weigh-in held at our nursery in Scottsdale.
Is that right?
Yes.
The Giant Pumpkin Growers Association. There is such a thing.
And the new state record was produced this year. And, gosh, what was it?
I will look it up because we interviewed the association director a few weeks ago.
And they were grown out at Scottsdale Community College out at the Garden Club out there.
Did they plant them in May? Is that when they
planted? No, they actually plant these in December.
In December. Okay.
They start them indoors in December and then move them out and tent them. And he was saying that you can't grow, you know, the giant pumpkins when you plant them for our jack-o'-lanterns and our Thanksgiving pumpkins. That you've got to start them in the wintertime and grow them until it gets too hot, and then they quit growing.
Yep.
Well, Next month, I'm going to the National Heirloom Seed Festival that's in Santa Rosa, California. And they have the National Giant Pumpkin Contest, and there's just like a 1,300-pound weigh-in from somewhere outside of Modesto that weighed in. Let's see, which Fresno South? out of Modesto on the north side. So that I'll have a lot of great pictures and reports from that. But it sounds like you plant in June, so you probably don't compete in the what used to be Young's Farm, now Mortimer Family Farm Pumpkin Chucking Contest.
Yeah, we actually I started as kind of a hobby, if you will, at first, just an experiment, and the pumpkins grew so well up there. Next year, I planted about 2 acres, and I have more pumpkins than you can even imagine.
Oh wow!
And we were selling them at the farmers markets and around, and then about 2 years ago, I stopped because the price of diesel was too high to run my pump, but now that it's come down, but I ran onto these gold medal ones, and the ladies that would buy them from me, they liked them because of the great big thick stems, and just the perfect color. And the other thing we liked about them is you could make pumpkin pies out of them, and the pies are, well, if you're on a diet, forget it. They're just awesome.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.